was saying scapegoats yesterday. I think it's closer to a smoking gun than a scapegoat. Even though I think that you kind of guess, like, okay, where are they at now? Like, it's a ball of twine that I think is so interconnected, so close, so hard to take apart that I think a lot of people are just like, just throw it in the trash and start all over. It's this mystery, but I think it's more closer to a smoking gun than it would be any sort of a scapegoat or anything. Oh, well, then we can figure it out. It's all on Ken Dorsey. How could it all be on Ken Dorsey? How could it all be on Ken Dorsey? How could it all be on Andy Dickerson? I think that we've been talking about Andy Dickerson for how long, Tone? I don't think it could all be on Andy Dickerson. Again, it's not who leaves. It's who you replace them with, and you've replaced them with two people who were just not very good at jobs.
Well, so people think it's all on just the guys that got fired. That's how firings work in the NFL.
It's the scapegoat. It's the scapegoating of what it is. Like, oh, okay, well, guys like you and me. Well, that clearly is the problem. Is that it couldn't be Kevin and it couldn't be the organization. It has to just be those coaches. It had to just be Andy Dickerson and it had to just be Ken Dorsey. I'm like, we don't know if that's. I don't know. If anything, we just learned that, hey, they probably made some decisions that they shouldn't have made. Maybe they heard some things that they didn't want to hear from some of the people that they let go. So they made some of these decisions and it came back to bite them. Because, again, it goes back to the albatross. I didn't say it. Troy Aikman did. The albatross hanging around your organization's neck that you have to continuously restructure the contract of so you can try to find some breathing room and some way out of this mess.
I don't think there's any way possible that anybody today in that organization or ownership is thinking it was just Ken Dorsey's fault. I don't think anybody's saying that. The question is, do you fire everybody when you have a season like you just had? When you have a season go off the rails, when you have a season where you get blown out in week one and then you really, against a team that didn't make the playoffs and a team's in disarray as well, when you get blown out at home, mind you, the Dallas Cowboys in week one, and it never gets better. In fact,
it gets worse.
It got worse.
Yeah.
It did. You had some, just like any NFL team, you have some moments of fun. You have some moments of, you know, there's always a few games that you're like, oh, I'll remember that one 10 years from now. But outside of that, I mean, this was abysmal from the start of the year to the end of the year. In most cases, that is accompanied right at the end of the year with a house cleaning. They did not do that in this scenario. This show, I don't know if you changed your mind over the break. I think this show was in unison towards the end of our run before the holiday that the GM has not done a good enough job and probably needs to lose his job. I am more fortified in that thought. I kind of can't believe Andrew Berry is going to be back, but I also know that if you fired Andrew Berry, then 9 times out of 10, you're just really getting rid of the coach too. So why? What are you waiting for?
Well, you have to understand, or you have to ask him. And today he'll have media availability today at 10. We'll carry that press conference live on 92.3 The Fan and
Andrew Berry.
3TheFan.com. Yes, Andrew Berry. Kevin had his media availability yesterday, but with Andrew, I think somebody's got to ask him. Like, what do you tell the fan base? The percentage of the fan base, which is probably a strong percentage, who have lost confidence in your ability to draft players and to put this team together. You know, that has to be sold. That has to be sold to the fan base in some way of an olive branch of how is this done? Because everywhere I go to try to make an argument, it runs into a 10-foot-wide brick wall that you just can't break through. So you're in this spot now where it's, are we actually going to get better here? Or how are we going to make this thing better when we don't necessarily have a lot of faith in the people making these decisions? But when you go back, you know, you say about not the smoking gun of, you know, who made these decisions to bring people in, who made them to go. You know, I look at it and I go, you know, this has also got to be proof of what last year was and how you call it a sunk cost fallacy. Yeah, I'm willing to give chances from last year to this year. There was the shoulder injury. It was tough to deal with. But the stuff that I had to think and say, which was the truth, the things that I didn't necessarily agree with, but I just knew were the truth. You know, we get this mixed up. Like, it's not what I would do, but it's what they're going to do. It's not my opinion of what they should do. And what they did was, hey, we're not going to bring back this guy that everybody loves. we're gonna bring back the quarterback that not a lot of people like. Well, why? Well, because we don't want to mess with his psyche. Okay, that doesn't sit really well. And I think what should bother people to their core is, again, it goes back to a couple years ago. Will they do anything to win, or do they just want to win it their way? Remember that? I had that great big diatribe with you. Go, if the football gods came down, if Vince Lombardi came down and looked at them and said, when Nick Chubb was healthy, I said this when Nick was healthy before the injury, you will win this game if you run the ball with Nick Chubb 31 times. You will win this football game, I guarantee it. And they would look Vince Lombardi right in the eye and say, can you guarantee we won't win if we don't run him 31 times? Well, I can't guarantee you won't win. Okay, we're going to do it our way. They will do it their way. Whether you as a fan, and it makes fans want to rip their hair out, and it should, because we just want to win. Fans just want to win. That's supposed to be the name of the game.
Are you talking about the full season or a specific game in general?
No. That's a hypothetical, Anthony. The general thought of, hey, if you guys do it this way and just do this to win this game, you will win it. Well, we're going to win it our way. And they will go to the playoffs or not go to the playoffs their way. Last year, they were forced to basically try to make the playoffs in their way. This year, they knew they weren't going to be forced to do it. Lightning wasn't going to strike twice, so they didn't. They didn't. And everybody was comfortable. And so we saw Bailey Zappe, who I thought would look like Johnny Manziel, out there a couple times on Sunday. And I don't really know how many people were paying attention to the game.
I thought he looked way better than DTR.
That's certainly saying something.
I do. I think he was way better than DTR, which is kind of scary considering they've had DTR. And he's been on their roster to develop the last few years.
So what's left is for us to fight this out, because now you have the number two overall pick. Now you have a very big decision to make. And what's left is for us to fight it out. And at the end of the day, I go, they're going to do it their way, and they're going to win or lose their way.
Well, what is maddening. What does that mean in this case? Because what we had thought and what got us here to begin with is it's a pretty simple formula. It was they thought they had a roster ready to contend for Super Bowls, and Baker Mayfield, especially injured, did not seem like he was good enough in an AFC where you had Mahomes, Allen. At the time, Burrow had been to the Super Bowl, and Lamar Jackson, an MVP winner at that point. Now he's a two-time MVP winner. So the formula was easy, right? It was try to upgrade the quarterback, and they thought they had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do it with a guy that, because of his baggage, was available to the whole league. A third of the league went after him. And they were the team that won it.
Yeah. And it worked out as bad as it possibly could have worked out.
But what does that have to do with trying to win it a certain way? Wouldn't that have made sense? On paper, did that make sense?
Did it make sense to take such a risk? Well, I think in hindsight, you have to say no.
I'm talking about at the time.
Well, it's hard for me to go against, even though I didn't want to trade for the guy at the time. I did not want to do it. I didn't think that Baker Mayfield was the future because of the money that.
But did you think he was an upgrade over Baker? I thought he was a massive upgrade at the time, especially after what we had seen.
I was not sure because of everything that went. It had been a year since he had played.
So the time off was what was really
that, the uncertainty of when he was going to play in his future. Yes. I thought that they had a serious problem with Baker Mayfield at that time. I can't walk back that.
They did. Look what they traded him for.
They did.
The rest of the league was down on Baker Mayfield at that point.
But I really had thought, okay, you've made one bad decision as far as a quarterback. Maybe you're going to have to go back to the well and take another quarterback. I didn't foresee them trading up everything for Deshaun Watson and giving up $230 million guarantee and having to kick this can down the road until your kids graduate high school, from what it seems, and a Bobby Bonilla style contract. But here we are. But my issue is that, again, last year you really pulled out all the stops. You robbed Peter to pay Paul in certain ways to try to make the playoffs to do it. And then, again, you have not an opportunity this year, but you have this feeling of, hey, we had a lot of goodwill. We had a lot of love with one another. And we just push that aside because we have to fulfill this prophecy of this investment that we've made in this quarterback.
Well, I thought starting Deshaun at the beginning of the year made sense. Why wouldn't you do everything you could to make sure that he couldn't play?
But when you see the way...
You would not have started him in week one?
That's from an outsider perspective. No, you had to start him in week one. That's an outsider perspective, Anthony. You have to look at it from an insider perspective, which you and I straddle the line on. Because you saw the way that the players, not the fans, the players reacted to Joe Flacco. You saw the way the players reacted to Jameis Winston, for crying out loud. Did they react that way to the guy that they're paying the 230 to? They gave up the 3 first-round picks to? No. Or 4? No. They didn't.
Well, what was to react to? He was horrible. So,
and when you go, and you're the one who brought up yourself, why are we giving him game balls? Why are we making him a captain?
Yeah, coddling him.
Why are we getting rid of people and bringing in new people? For what? What are we doing this for?
Well, I did think they wanted to.
Those were your questions, yeah, but not just mine.
It did again. What did make sense on paper was, all right, the Stefanski offense, we've seen that right now the quarterback, Deshaun Watson, was not comfortable running that. At the very least, if we're going to do whatever we can to salvage this massive investment where we did throw all the chips in the middle of the table, we do have to get some semblance of an offense that would work with him. And they did that. I think most teams probably would have done that, would they not have?
I would hope so, but I...
And it just didn't work because the quarterback wasn't good enough.
And so we're going to take the people who made all these decisions and we're going to continue to go forward is what we're going to do.
So you would be in agreement right now that the GM has to go.
What argument can I make to keep him?
So you agree, GM has to go.
I will not say that. What argument can I make to keep him?
Well, people can hear it in your voice.
I'm not lowering my standards for them. I'm not doing that.
People can hear it in your voice. They understand what you're saying, is that the GM should not be employed. The question is if Kevin should still be employed. I mean, this is pretty bad. This is an all-time drop-off to go from 11. They finished the season last year with 11 wins. Think about it. To go from 11 wins to 3, you didn't lose Tom Brady. It wasn't like Peyton Manning retired on you. That is an all-time drop-off.
Do you think that he participated in... Do you believe that they were tanking at the end of the year?
100%.
Do you believe that he participated in that plan at the end of the year?
That who?
Kevin.
Oh, yeah. They were all in on it, yeah.
Then if he participated in the plan, it makes me very nervous.
Yeah, he probably wasn't thrilled.
Couldn't have been thrilled. But then again, how am I, when I got Myles Garrett questioning things, Joel Bitonio's questioning things, I'm supposed to get their attention back? Supposed to get their respect back? That's difficult.
Yeah,
it's difficult to do.
We had a lot of audio.
I understand that guys have bosses and they got to do what they have to do, and maybe Kevin just had to do what they have to do, and maybe Miles and all the veterans respect that. Maybe they do. But damn, I just don't want to be in this situation again, and I feel worse about this team. I pray that they do better in the future. God, I couldn't stand this season. It sucked the life out of us in so many ways. But I just don't feel better about this team at all. I don't feel
nobody feels good
about that. But I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel right now. Well, where's my out? Where's my out to better football other than a hope that really doesn't happen like last year? Where is my out to something better? As Zach wrote, where's my exit ramp?
Yeah, I would say the hope is that they still got Miles for now. They still got Denzel Ward. I think Bitonio, after he'll have some time off, will be back.
All those guys, you finish with 3 wins this year.
Right, but it is the NFL, and I think I'm playing devil's advocate, but in the NFL, every team's a year away. Washington made the playoffs this year.
What is our plan then? Because I can't just say it's the NFL, because it is just the NFL, and they have finished with 10-plus losses how many times the last 20 years? So it can't just be it's the NFL. If it's just the NFL, then we'll just finish with a bad record again, and we'll just run this thing further into the ground.
Yeah, look, I
can't. No, there has to be a plan. You have to give me a plan.
To me, the plan that would make the most sense is probably to start over, but that would involve trading Miles. That would involve taking offers for all your veterans and getting as many draft picks as possible in the next 2 drafts, especially the year after this season, when it is the premier quarterback draft.
And I'm in a place where I slow down on conversation about trading Miles because I go, where's your goodwill with your fan base? You got to sell tickets at some point.
Well, but that is the point that they're kind of in. I think they are trying to still piece together something, whether it's Kirk Cousins this offseason. They'll try to sell you on that he can work with Stefanski in offense. He probably could. They'll probably win games. But in terms of contention, like, what are you doing to close the gap on Mahomes?
I don't know if there's anything in the
AFC.
Not in this iteration. Not with this group of guys. I don't think there's anything you can do to, quote, close that gap. You can make it look better. You can be competitive. Hell, you could be a wild card team. You could be a wild card team.
Bad teams make the wild card every year in the NFL.
But you're not closing the gap realistically doing that. Like, I'll never give up hope on them. But in any sort of actual plan, I mean, I'm watching the Aaron Rodgers documentary over the week off, and I'm going, wow, I'm starting to talk myself into this guy who might have played his last NFL game yesterday. That's where we're at right now. That's desperate. reeks of desperation. So, yeah. 216-474-0092. It's not a good day. Not a good day whatsoever. It's been a bad year. It's a bad ending to a bad year. And hopefully Andrew Berry is going to have some better answers than what had happened throughout this bad year. Coming up at 10 a.m. this morning. 216-474-0092. What would make you feel better about the future of this football team? We know the roads are bad. Be careful out there. A lot worse than I thought they were going to be. Yeah.
They're closing schools, too. So
oh, they're closing schools.
They closed ours this morning.
So be careful out there.
5 minutes ago.
Boy, I got to say, I'm usually up to date on this stuff. I'm very surprised at how bad the weather was. So be careful out there. What would make you feel better about the future of this football team? 216-474-0092. And